grand slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score! My guest today is Steve Strahan. He was a former National Football League player with the Oakland Raiders, played in the NFL for 5 seasons, also played his college ball at Boston College, and was part of that 1984 team that, it was the miracle in Miami it was known for. A very good team indeed, but that one play kind of was synonymous and iconic of the 80s. And Steve was part of that play. We'll also talk about that. And we'll also talk about trust and growth in God in the second half of the show. Steve has some really good insight regarding that topic based on his own life experience. But I'd like to welcome Steve Strahan. It's a blessed to play. Steve, it's so great to have you on.
Oh, thank you, Ron. It's great to join you.
Well, let's talk about your love or passion, I should say, for the game of football. You grew up in Burlington, Massachusetts, so obviously played your high school football there. But was football the sport, or were you a multi-sport guy in high school?
I was, like a lot of guys back then. It's a long time ago. I was a multi-sport guy, but football was the sport for not just me, but my older brothers. I have 5 older brothers. Mm-hmm. And really, from my earliest memories, I wanted to play football, probably even before I knew what it was. I just knew that my oldest brother was a big high school football star. And I have memories of being 5 years old and looking at the yearbook pictures from his high school yearbook and just wanting that.
Let's talk about choosing Boston College. Was it a tough choice for you? Were there other schools vying for you to go there? And why ultimately did you decide to go to Chestnut Hill and play for the Eagles?
Well, I guess it was sort of a tough choice because I was trying to decide between Harvard and BC. And BC was just 45 minutes away from my house. So it was like a no-brainer to go there, because if I went there, I knew that I would have a chance to play on TV because I saw the schedule. The schedule was set.
So you play the running back position. And as I mentioned in the opening, it was a historical team, an iconic team, that one play. But certainly the team wasn't defined by one play. It was a very good team. And you played alongside Heisman Trophy winner Doug Flutie. And you also were an MVP of the 1985 Cotton Bowl Classic. So let's talk about the game, the miracle in Miami, the Hail Flutie, however you want to define it. I think the play call was a 55 flood tip, from what I understand. You were playing running back, but you were in the end zone actually when the ball was in the air and ultimately landed with a BC receiver in a miracle way. Recount that play, your thoughts going into it, and also the aftermath of such an important historical play in college football history.
Sure. I don't remember what we were ranked. I think we were probably 8th in the country at the time. And this was the second to last game. And it was played on the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was on CBS. And it was the only football game on TV that day, you know, in an NFL game or college game. So there was, you know, a huge audience. And and I can't tell you how many times over the years I'd, you know, meet someone and in conversation, they knew I played football at BC somewhere around the 80s. And invariably when this happened, I would get the question, did you play in that Miami game? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just amazing to me how often I find myself talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, 40 years ago. So anyway, we're playing Miami, and, you know, Miami had just won the national championship, you know, like 8 months earlier. And they had so many great athletes. And, you know, it was a big task to try to beat Miami. And so we're in a shootout. And, you know, they had a great quarterback, Bernie Kosar, who went on to have a really accomplished NFL career. And, you know, we had Doug Flutie, and neither defense could stop the offenses. Mm-hmm. I think there were 4 tied scores and 9 lead changes in that game. And Miami got the 8th lead change near the end of the game. they scored and left 28 seconds on the clock for us to have one possession to go 80 yards. And, you know, anybody who's played football or watched a lot of football, you know, when you have 28 seconds and you need to go 80 yards to score a touchdown, like a field goal wasn't going to win it for us. We were down by four. You know, the game is kind of over. At least that's what was in my head, to tell you the truth. When I took the field and got in the huddle, and I could tell my teammates felt the same way. It's like, you know, 28 seconds, this thing is not going to happen. And then Doug Flutie comes to the huddle, and I swear he could sense, or he could see it in our eyes, that, you know, we were kind of deflated. So he does something totally out of character, something, you know, he does something none of us had ever seen him do before. He just yells at us and just says, look, we need to get to midfield. I can reach the end zone from midfield, but we only have time for three plays. We got to get there in three plays. And if we do, we can still win. And then so we broke the huddle and we kind of snapped out of our funk. And three plays later, we're at midfield, just like he had scripted. And, you know, on that play, the final play, my responsibility was to stay in the backfield and block, be an extra blocker. And we had run this play once earlier in the season at the end of a half, and we completed the ball. It was like, that was the second time Flutie completed that pass that season. And I remembered that was against Temple. And I remember, you know, the play starts and I'm just standing there. They, you know, they're only rushing two guys, maybe three. And there was nothing for me to do. And I watched the ball land in the end zone. And I thought to myself, man, I should just run down there and be another pair of hands, you know? And so at the end of the Miami game, we broke the huddle. We called that play. And I just decided to take off for the end zone. And what's amazing to me is that I'm running, you know, and I'm at about the 5 yard line. I look up and I see the ball. It's like, it's right there. And I go to jump to get it. And then I crash into three DBs from Miami. There's a collision of four guys and I don't get off the ground and I keep my eyes on the ball. And I just see it go into Gerard Phelan's abdomen, just thumps into his abdomen. And I knew at that moment we had won the game. Yeah. And it was a big deal.
Absolutely. That's an iconic play. And thank you for that vivid description of it, especially from your eyes, your vantage point, which is truly amazing, as all Hail Marys are. But just as you mentioned, the way you set that up, this Hail Mary had some significant importance, obviously. Blessed to play Ron Meyer, chatting once again with Steve Trahan. He played 5 years in the National Football League. Boston College Eagles, his collegiate career, did quite well, and then he got drafted into the National Football League in 1985, round 11, pick 303 by the Oakland Raiders, the bad boys of the NFL. Al Davis, John Madden, you know, all these Hall of Fame players that have come through Oakland, and now Steve is going to go play from the Raiders from a Jesuit school in Massachusetts. When you got the news, or when you heard that you were picked and going to Oakland, what were your thoughts at that time?
Oh, I was just overjoyed. One, that I got selected. And it, man, this was a time when the draft was 12 rounds and they would start at 8 o'clock in the morning and it wasn't televised, right? So you kind of just, you knew it was going on, but you really had no idea what round they were on or what's going on. And so I just spent the entire day trying not to think about it. And they would just do all the draft picks consecutively. So the draft would last like 18 hours and it would get over like at 2 a.m. The second day of the draft. So it's like 12:30. I'm in my dorm room with my roommates and we're kind of hanging around all night and they go to bed. And so we have this little landline phone and it's connected to one of the bedrooms. So I literally take the phone out into the hallway and shut the door to the bedroom where my roommates were. And I'm sitting on the floor in the hallway with the phone between my legs, just looking at it, hoping that it would ring. And at 1:30 it rang and it was the running back coach from the Raiders. So my first reaction was just relief, like it happened. But then, you know, it was just like euphoria when I realized it was the Raiders, because, you know, the Raiders back then, they were the winningest team in all of sports in the U.S., right? So they had a bigger winning percentage than any NFL team, NBA team, Major League Baseball. I mean, they were just winners. And they also were different. They were kind of counterculture. Everything about them, the uniforms and the owner, and they had so many star players, like celebrity guys, you know, like when I first got there, Lyle Alzado was on the team. And, you know, young people today probably don't even know who that is. But, you know, in the early 80s, Lyle Alzado was huge. You know, he fought Muhammad Ali in a football stadium in the 70s. I mean, that's how big he was as a celebrity. And then, you know, then Howie Long and Marcus Allen and Lester Hayes and Jim Plunkett and, you know, Todd Christensen, there's so many guys. They had, I think, 9 all-pro guys on the team when I joined there, and they had just won a Super Bowl. So I just couldn't believe it, that was the team. Like, I think if you asked any kid in the draft that year, if they could choose the NFL team they would hope to go to, I think most players would have chosen the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Steve Strahan was drafted by the Los Angeles Raiders and played 5 seasons from 1985 to 1989. He recorded his only NFL touchdown in October of 1988, a 13-yard pass from Jay Schrader in a 24-14 loss to the Miami Dolphins. When Blessed to Play returns, we'll talk about trust and growth in faith with Steve Strahan, former NFL player, when Blessed to Play returns right after this.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Steve Strahan. He played 5 seasons in the NFL, most notably with the Oakland Raiders. Quite a franchise history, as Steve mentioned. You know, they were known as the rough guys of the NFL, let's put it that way. A lot of legacy of Hall of Fame players, which Steve alluded to as well. And Steve played some great college ball as well with the Boston College Eagles. But there's more to Steve than just being a talented athlete. His growth and faith in the spiritual life is very important to him, and he has some great insights. And, Steve, I'd like to open up this discussion about just talking about trust and faith, because I know it's a growth process, right? The way we look at things from when we're a teenager to where we are as we get older in life. And, you know, we talk about faith in God, talk about the Holy Trinity, but we also talk about how we grow in trust and some of the challenges of it. Why don't you talk about trust and faith in God as you evolved as a man and some of the high points and some of the challenges that go along with that?
So, you know, in talking about these types of things, you know, I feel compelled to say that, look, I am not an expert at any of this. Right. I don't claim to know things that other people don't know or haven't learned. All I'm an expert in really is my own experience, my own life experience. And I can tell you that, you know, I was very fortunate to grow up in a home where I had 2 parents that, man, I appreciate more now and as time goes on than I did when I was younger, and that they really did live their faith. They were a great example for me. But I'm not sure that I really, you know, lived their example. And today I find that I'm striving to, but it's after a lot of years of sort of living on self-will. And, you know, I remember my parents talking about God's will and talking about surrender to God's will. And I remember those words, but I can't say that I really understood what that meant. And then, and now after a lot of years, I think I'm beginning to understand it. And, you know, for me, I think I always had a belief in God, but maybe not so much faith. And, you know, to me, the difference is, you know, having belief is one thing, but trusting and surrendering, you know, that's a different thing. And so it's taken me a while, but I think I've kind of reached a point to where my parents really lived their life, where they really did trust God. I mean, they went through their lives with all kinds of challenges that, you know, everyone goes through. But they got through everything. In fact, at the end of my dad's life, while he was still pretty cognitively okay, I had a few children at the time, and I had achieved a lot of success, material success, you know, worldly success. And, you know, my dad lived, you know, a humble life. And what I realized was all the years I knew him, he never seemed to like lose control or, you know, get really upset. I never saw him really disturbed. And I asked him, I said, you know, Dad, how did you get through all these years without losing it? And he just laughed and he said, oh gosh, all I did was pray. I prayed all the time. And what's kind of funny is, you know, for years I prayed when I needed something, when I wanted something, you know, I prayed for outcomes. And I didn't pray frequently. It was really when I really needed something. That's when I prayed. It's like, that's the way it was for me for years. And now I pray all the time. And I don't pray for what I want. I really just pray for guidance and pray for acceptance, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what the way my dad and mom lived. And it took me a while to get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom there. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, once again chatting with Steve Strahan, former NFL player, 5 seasons with the Oakland Raiders. And you mentioned that, you know, you prayed for guidance and acceptance and that those outcomes that, you know, it's really not what God, in those situations, a lot of times, it's not really what God wants or it's what we want, right? And God, please let me have it, you know, and, you know, there's some growth in that mindset. We've all done that, obviously. But you also talk about how there's a struggle between ego and self-centeredness, right? And you're an NFL player, you have the world at your fingertips. Obviously, you're one of the best athletes in the world. And there's that constant struggle because you have to have that edge as well. You have to have belief in yourself, right? You have to have that, you know, I'm better than the next guy. That's the competitive environment. But then you take it to the spiritual life and it's more a sense of abandonment, which is, I don't know, it's kind of the opposite of how an athlete thing. So there's the struggle. That's where it lies. So how did you kind of deal with that confliction of the spirit or in your inner soul and come to this, you know, point in your life where you decided that, you know, I don't need to be separated from God. I need to be aligned with him.
Yeah, I don't think it was a conscious choice, you know, or an intellectual consideration or decision. You know, I think, you know, there's a line in the Serenity Prayer. It has a long form to the prayer. I say it every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And the line is accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. And I think for me, you know, I only learn if I'm going through pain, you know, enough pain to where I will give up, you know. And, you know, when I say I struggle with self-centeredness and ego, it's, you know, I want things to go my way. And I'll put a ton of energy and effort, to get things to go my way. And when they don't, I get disturbed. You know, and you know, I get upset or I get angry or frustrated. And if I'm afraid they're not going to go my way, things aren't going to go my way, I'm full of fear. And really, I'm in pain because I'm on my own. I'm running the show. I'm living in Steve's world. But when you surrender to God, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. And there's acceptance for whatever it is, whatever's happening. And so I kind of know intuitively now that when I'm disturbed, you know, there's I'm the problem. And the problem is that, you know, I'm not living in a state of surrender like my parents did. And so now, you know, I find myself, you know, when I do get fearful or I'm ruminating over something, you know, I can just stop and say, God, please take this from me. Mm-hmm. You know, and get immediate relief. And you know, Ron, this is the way it is for me. And it's been this way maybe in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But man, I spent a lot of years, you know, just sort of out there in the material world, just, you know, trying to compete and trying to achieve and really not finding peace, even when, you know, I achieved many things, you know. And it's funny, it's now I realize, like, gosh, you know, peace is simply just letting go of that stuff and just trusting God. And regardless of the outcome, that's the big thing, you know. And it's a constant battle for me.
Well, it's a constant battle for all of us, for sure. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, once again chatting with Steve Strahan, longtime competitive football player with the Boston College Eagles and also the Oakland Raiders as well. And, you know, I think that in some respects, as we age in life, that as a coach prepares his players for the big game or they mature as a team, that God matures us to a place of abandonment if we're open to that, because you know, we have to be prepared for the next life. And I think part of that process is that we're not gonna be totally fulfilled. There's no way. We could think we're gonna consume everything to fulfill us, but there is a sense that we're not gonna be fulfilled, and that I think that's part of the process. And you mentioned so eloquently this notion of abandonment, that if we're gonna fight against the process that God has put into place, we're just gonna be miserable. We really are. But if we look at it as a source of growth and preparation, because I think there is a point of God, like a good coach, is preparing us, right? The coach is preparing us for the big game. God is ultimately preparing us to be with him forever. And that this struggle that goes along with that, and also as a player, when you're preparing to get to that big moment, there's a lot of struggle that goes into that as well. But there also is perseverance. And there's also a joy and happiness as well. So you run the full gamut here. As you get older in life, Steve, we have a few minutes remaining. Do you find that God is preparing Steve? Do you sense that in your spirit?
Yes, and I think he always has been. And when, you know, when I look back on much of my life and see the stuff that I went through, I can see where God was present. And But I'm just more mindful now. You know, I had a conversation with a friend a couple of years ago, and I think I was like complaining about something, or, you know, I had some kind of problem. I don't remember what it was. And he said, Steve, how many good summers do you think you have left? Right. And I'm 61 years old, and he was a little older than me. And what he was saying is like, look, you know, you're acting like you're going to live forever. Well, what if you only have a year left? Is this a problem? Mm-hmm. And man, it was profound that, you know, because I left him that day thinking, and I started thinking, you know, I think we've all, if we've seen on television or in movies, sometimes you see a young person that gets a terminal illness, and they get a diagnosis that's devastating, right? Somebody's in their 40s and they have cancer and they don't have much long to live. And I can't point to a movie or a show, but I know I've seen this more than once, where the doctor would just say to the person, I think you should get your affairs in order. And I think what the doctor means by that is take care of any big things. Like if you have financial stuff that needs to be sorted out, take care of it. But mostly if you have relationships that need to be repaired, repair them, because, you know, you don't have much time left. And I've been thinking, you know, in the last couple of years, why is it that we wait to find out we're going to die before we get our affairs in order? Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, I want my affairs in order now. I want to live with my affairs in order, live with, you know, good relationships and responsible living and, you know, and live the way we're supposed to live, you know, and I can't say that I was doing that for a lot of years. So now it's like, that's what I think about every day.
Very profound about, you know, getting our affairs in order right now. We don't have to wait till that moment of crisis or when we come to a moment where we know that maybe our end is near, but we could do it before that time and hopefully get our path right with God and our lives right with Him as well. Well, Steve, thanks so much for the time. I enjoyed talking football for sure, and that iconic play and your time spent in the NFL playing for the Raiders, but also such a passionate discussion about your growth in the spiritual life and some of your insights on that. Thanks so much for joining us on Blessed to Play.
Thank you, Ron. I enjoyed it.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You could like us on Facebook and hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Steve Strahan, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.